We're joined by former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, who's had a lot to say about this. Mr. Speaker, first of all, thank you for joining us. And I want to ask you about all of the leaks that we've now seen coming out about this special counsel, Robert Mueller, the fact that he's now looking into obstruction of justice, specifically investigating the president, specifically investigating the business dealings of Jared Kushner. All of this is leaking. Why do you think it's leaking?
Well, I think it's leaking, and I describe this as a general problem in my new book, Understanding Trump. The fact is that Donald Trump won the Republican nomination in a hostile takeover, beating 16 traditional Republicans. He then won the general election in a hostile takeover, beating the elite news media, Hillary Clinton, in a billion-dollar campaign. And I think he arrived in Washington thinking people would say, okay, the democratic process has worked. I guess, you know, he's now the president. We've got to find a way to work with him. Instead, the shock election night, and I really think this is the key to why it has been so traumatic. At 8 o'clock on election night, the left thought they were going to continue the Obama period, that Hillary would continue to use government to impose radical values, that they'd have a left-wing Supreme Court nominee, et cetera. And all of a sudden, 2-3 hours later, I mean, with no transition time at all, not only had she lost, but she had lost to their worst nightmare, a guy named Donald J. Trump, who's an entrepreneur, an outsider, a risk taker, a guy who wants to fundamentally change the city. And the city is fighting back. And I think this entire absurdity of the Russian collusion, you know, it starts out with, did he win? He had to have cheated to win. And therefore, did he win because of the Russians, okay? Now, apparently almost nobody believes that now except left-wing nutcakes. So you have Senator Feinstein and others saying, there's just no evidence of it. All right, but now the question becomes, we need a special counsel to investigate something which didn't happen. And then because the special counsel is not going to find anything, the special counsel now redefines their job. They bring in four Democrats who are people who gave money to Hillary and the Democrats. In one case, a lawyer who actually worked for the Clinton Foundation defending it against Freedom of Information Act requests, which if you think about it, is pretty hysterical. I mean, this open, transparent special counsel hired somebody who had specialized in stopping Freedom of Information requests. In two cases, there are lawyers who had in the past hidden material from the defense in ways that are at a minimum unprofessional and in many ways illegal. And I look at that lineup and I think, you know, Mueller is arming for a witch hunt, and he's bringing in the kind of people, high-powered, very expensive lawyers, and they're going to find somebody. They're not going to find Trump in the end, but they're going to find somebody, and they'll find them for something. Now, it may have nothing to do with Russia, it may have nothing to do with the reason we had a special counsel, but these guys, they're not going to go home without a scalp.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to know why Republicans are so feckless. This drives me absolutely crazy. You know that Democrats would never have allowed this to get to special counsel. Why do Republicans consistently aid and abet in their own execution?
I think the culture of the Republican Party is a culture of accommodation that completely misunderstands what's going on. I think part of what makes Trump refreshingly different is that, you know, if people want to fight, he's willing to fight. All too many Republicans try to find ways to, quote, let's be reasonable. Well, you can't be reasonable with a witch hunt. I really do believe if you go back and read Arthur Miller's The Crucible, which is his great play about the Salem witch trials, you'll understand what's going on right now. You'll understand on college campuses what's going on. I talk to college students, so when I go out and give speeches, I talk to college students who are threatened for being Republican. I talked to two young ladies at Cornell who felt that for the first week after the election, if they smiled, they would be yelled at because it was inappropriate to smile in a world where Donald Trump had won.
So let me ask you a question, though. Why don't we hear Republicans calling Democrats out and saying, why are you not condemning whenever, and fill in the blank,
well,
whenever...
I am, and I'm in my newsletter today, which people can get at GingrichProductions.com. It's a free newsletter I do twice a week. My newsletter today talks about the degree to which Attorney General Jeff Sessions was a profile in courage and was brilliant. You look at the way he did it the other day when he was at the Senate. He did call him out. I mean, at one point, one of the Democratic senators asked him this hypothetical question, and he just hits straight back and says, you tell me. I mean, you just raised a totally hypothetical question about which we have no information at all. So if you have any information, tell us. And the senator was just dumbfounded because he hadn't expected a Republican witness to be that tough.
I want to point out something. The speaker is also the author of a new book. It's called Understanding Trump, and he'll be signing books tonight at 7 p.m. at the Barnes & Noble in Tyson's Corner. And, Mr. Speaker, the book's called Understanding Trump. Could you give us a sense of now that you've had a lot of time observing him, what is the core thing that you think that you use to assess, like, how do you understand Trump? What's the one thing you need to know to understand him?
Let me emphasize for our audience, it's not called Predicting Trump, because I don't think you can predict him. I think he's too fluid. And he moves too rapidly, and frankly, he couldn't predict himself. Because he responds like an entrepreneur. He's not a business executive in the corporate CEO, IBM sense. He is a pure entrepreneur. He gets up in the morning, he thinks of big things to accomplish, and he goes out and he does it. He has a couple of characteristics I like very much. I mean, obviously, there are some things I've told him. I think 10% less Trump would be 100% more effective. So I think there's some things he could learn that would make him much more effective as president. But he starts out with big dreams. His whole life has been a series of big dreams. He has big dreams now for America. He starts out with enormous raw courage. His book, The Art of the Comeback, which I recommend to everybody, really tells you when he was almost bankrupt and everything was going to pieces, how he gradually put it together to have a chance to succeed again. And I think this is a guy who's very resilient. He also has an enormous, engaging personality. I mean, there's a reason that even with all the battering, even with all the fake news and people like CNN being 93% negative, he still has a core base at around 41%. And it's because he does have an ability to reach people and to get them to believe in him. And I think that he's likely to continue to be effective. One of the things you can count on is he will always counterattack. He learned this in New York with Page Six. His relation with the New York media was always, sort of a rumbling struggle. But he understood that as long as you were in the news, you were winning. And, of course, he built a national reputation that way.
All right.
So there are patterns you can count on.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate the time this morning on Mornings on the Mall. And that's a good overview. At least somebody's given us an insight into the President of the United States. And again, Newt Gingrich will be at the Barnes & Noble Tyson's Corner tonight at 7 p.m. signing books.